welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, you guys had a little episode last week without me, without Big T. You hit some controversial topics. You hit a little Game of Thrones. Everybody's patting us on the back for how we do the sign-off now, which is... It makes me feel creepy and depressed. I don't know. How does that make you guys feel? I feel like the accolades that we're getting about that, it's making it worse somehow for
me. How long had this thing gone where we were making everybody else uncomfortable to where change it and everybody's hyped?
Not even that, but everybody's treating us like big sweeties. And it's like, no, you know what? Like, we didn't do anything nice. We just stopped being unnice, I guess. I don't know.
And it took a pretty dire circumstance to get us to the point of going, well, let's switch it up, which I guess there's a level of thoughtfulness in there, but also like what kind of a-holes would we be if we didn't do that?
Exactly, dude. It's just a referendum too on how like everything on the internet in 2019 is scrutinized, not scrutinized, but like, it's just like everybody's giving their opinion on everything. If you told me in 1998 that I was going to have a podcast where I low-key made fun of someone who I'd never met for years. Like, never the content of that person, but just, like, that person's name. And then something bad would happen to that person, and then we would change it up, and everybody would be patting us on the back. I would have said, you're crazy. Like, none of that's going to happen.
Right, and the thing is, we never actually engage anything that person says. Ever.
No, never.
It is only sort of the ethos and existence of that person as sort of the villain to our tribe. That's it.
That person as a person.
You know what? But, you
and
know
not
what
even as a person, because none of us know her. It's just like that person as a presence.
We're actually going to take heat for this, though, for talking about it too much. Like, I ruined it. You know, I ruined it by leaning.
Yeah, yeah, people thought we were nice, and now we've gone and proved them wrong again.
Maybe that's just
we
a little
sweeties. Former
a little,
sweeties.
We were. That's a little myself.
Doing great until you came back, Ted. Good job.
Yeah, no kidding, man. You guys were killing it last week. If only you could talk about, you know, low-key Game of Thrones porn and I don't know, whatever the other thing was forever.
People did seem to resonate with the sentiment that porn is bad, however. So we got that going for us.
They did. That message is always going to sell well, I think. So let's just keep – maybe we'll sign the show off
with
that. To
be fair, it's not as lucrative as the message that porn is good, but,
that's
you know,
true.
It's received better by our tribe.
Yeah, that industry is not in any danger.
We're doing a little bit better than we are.
Fading into the distance.
Yeah, but we're doing well too, boys. And Big R, you're really doing well, baby. You're on like week two of pampering right now, retreating. And baby, I got to tell you, it seems like just yesterday that you were in Naples, I guess, for last year's round of pampering. So we're back for that. Why don't you give Piper and I some highlights? What have been some of the nicest things that have happened to you this week as a result of your sojourn pampering expedition?
I got to tell you, boys, it's really weird when you stay in a hotel that goes so far to like cliches that you only like see in movies or that you only dream someday that you could have. So every night we get back into the room like late, right? And somebody has come in from the staff and done the turn down on the bed and has the chocolates on the pillow.
Suffering for Jesus, baby. Now, I have a question for you. I have a serious question. Who's funding Sojourn? Do you guys have like a Saudi Arabian like oil tycoon who's like funding this thing or what? How does this happen year after year? This is fascinating to me.
It's the sale of essential oils.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, guys, what topics are we going to discuss today?
No, baby, seriously, this is a funny thing. This is actually something that KK and I were talking about this morning because she was recently overseas. She just traveled to Dubai for a week to visit a friend. And there's this like very deep-seated urge among people to like suss out whether or not the trip was legitimate. And I'm talking about Christian people. So like, you know, just going to Dubai to see a friend, people were like, huh, oh, okay. You know, but if we say, well, that, you know, the friends kind of had a rough time and a rough year, then it's like, oh, great. You know, have a great trip. And
yeah, now it puts more value on the cash somehow.
It puts more value on the cash. But what's funny to me is that Sojourn seems to like not be leaning into that at all.
No, Sojourn has no. Yeah. I mean, this is just like this is part of what it is to be in Sojourn is you get this like 4 days of pampering in Naples or Destin, Florida every year because so the network is fully church funded. So it's all the churches funding the churches. So we don't have any We don't have outside funding. We don't have.
So you guys just have like rich people with a dash of hipster thrown in, which is a really good wheelhouse to be in, like
AKA
financially.
All of the lead pastors, correct?
Yeah. Like rich people, little dash of hipster, little dash of ministry. This is how all the big like parachurch organizations kind of operate. That's good though, baby.
I mean, Sojourn would be parachurch, right? I mean, that would be. It's what it is. It's a parachurch organization. Yeah.
Dude, is it? I don't even know. I don't even know what the distinctions are.
Well, I mean, Sojourn isn't a church, so therefore it has to be a parachurch organization, right?
Because dude, so what is it? Like, what do you get out of it? Besides the pampering, you know, every 2 months or whatever. What are you getting out of it? Like, being in Sojourn, what does it bring you? It's just the branding?
Yeah, it's just really – it's good. It's a lot of connectivity with other pastors who – you know, we share the same values, theology, and, you know, most of the time methodology. So you get good connectivity. And then you get good resourcing and all the different things that we need resourcing in and help in. And so it functions in that way, kind of like a denomination, but much smaller so that it's far more fluid.
I would like to applaud your use of buzzwords, both connectivity and resourcing. That was well done, Ron.
What about fluid?
Dude, that was good. Like,
what about fluid?
That was 2019 word salad. Right
that
there.
Was strong. That was that was. I feel like you. I feel like you used like the corporate BS generator to spit that out, and it was really well played.
Well, I love you too, Pipe.
That was what we were looking for.
I love you too. .com.
Hang on, I got to send a text real quick, boys.
Cool.
He's. Are you sending in your application to join Sojourn?
Dude, yeah, I want to be a Sojourn professor. I feel like that would be good for my brand.
Pipe, just give Big T a minute to send his text.
Do you need resourcing and connectivity? Because
I need
got
resourcing and connectivity. I have no idea what those two things
download
mean.
Download the Sojourn how to send a quick text in the middle of your podcast app.
Dude, let me try to translate what resourcing and connectivity means, Piper. I think it means a sweet trip a couple times a year.
Correct.
Yeah. And
leather goods.
You enjoy. We hate to pull you away from the pampering to do work, but we have radio business to do.
Yeah, it's out. It's literally an outrage.
I know, it's really hard, man. You're gonna have to rest a little
paycheck.
Bit more.
Here for the paycheck.
Just a paycheck player at this point.
Pretty much.
Well, baby, I want to talk about a few things that have probably come up for you this week because I'm guessing the three topics that we're going to talk about have kind of been in the air, as it were, at a high end Sojourn pampering retreat like this. And it's probably some stuff that you've dealt with. Now, Piper, this came up. I don't know if this came from a listener or if this came from just you or just you and me. But I want to talk about like pastoral bathroom etiquette or bathroom etiquette in ministry contexts. Because I teach at a Christian college. Piper, you work for a Christian publisher. And Ron, when he's not traveling, is a pastor. And I think all three of these worlds kind of bump up against some really strange bathroom etiquette. So, Pipe, why don't you lay on us what you had in mind when you threw this out?
Yes, this is a suggestion from a listener from some time ago. My guess is in conjunction with a pastor's conference, because rarely will you see more awkward bathroom interactions than hundreds of Enneagram 5s hanging out and using urinals side by side. It's simply the matter of like what is appropriate social interaction in the bathroom? Is it just a zero, like no eye contact, no conversation, no phone usage, no nothing? Should you ever shake somebody's hand in the bathroom? Should you ever talk on the phone in the stall? So there's sort of these questions because you see the whole array of behavior, or somebody who believes that one thing is appropriate, for example, shaking hands, and another person who very clearly does not want to shake that person's hand because this is a restroom. And so we just need to sort of suss out and give people a sense of what is right and appropriate in a public restroom setting.
Now, Ron, what does the Sojourn bathroom setting look like? I'm guessing it's a very chic modern decor.
It was so posh, man. It was like everything's marble. There's like a guy standing in there trying to give you chocolates while you give him dollar bills. It was everything.
Dude, really, you got the guy. The guy.
Everything
the
I've ever dreamed of in a bathroom, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have
And baby, all these years, all you had to do was go into ministry to get that poshness. Who knew? You would have done this 20 years ago. You know, we all would have.
I know. All the stuff that me and you did, baby, like trying to work up to what all I had to do was this is just phenomenal to even think about.
Oh, I know it, dude. All those years, like, you know, beating our brains out in the publishing industry, all you had to do was become a Sojourn pastor. And then all the stuff comes to you.
Correct.
Pipe, let's talk through ideal bathroom behavior for people in a ministry context. What's okay? What's not okay?
So, I mean, just generally speaking, you should try never to stand at a urinal next to somebody else, period. Isn't that just sort of accepted behavior?
Like, absolutely. That's, you always, like, go to the furthest one away.
Yeah, or at least leave one in between so that they're evenly spaced. Even in my high school, guys had spray-painted numbers above the urinals, and so you knew if somebody was at two, you didn't go to one or three, you went to four. You know, you just
that's
leave
really
a
drastic,
space. Right? It's, well, you know, high school students, they need some very, very clear rules, and so do pastors, apparently, because they don't understand this rule. I think a no talking at the urinal rule is
I'm
is
in total
reasonable.
Agreement on that, by the way.
What's that?
Total agreement. Total okay. agreement with that one. That's a good one.
Ron,
sure.
Do you have thoughts on that? Talking while at the urinal?
Yeah, I don't I don't do urinals. I have a shy bladder, so I have to be in complete isolation. Or
really, baby? You're a stall guy.
Totally. 100%.
Fascinating.
And you know what? Not even really a stall guy. I only go into bathrooms where there's only one bathroom.
Okay.
So I get to lock the door behind me and nobody else is in there.
Interesting. But you've got a really shy bladder then.
I mean, a shy bladder, and I just demand a little bit more, you know, private time, you know?
Okay.
That's my time, Big T. That's my time. That's not
the Enneagram 4 coming out. You can't go to the bathroom.
That's not time for me to share with everybody. I don't do that.
I cannot use the same restroom everybody else does.
It's not share time. Correct.
Interesting.
I think as a general rule, there should be no physical contact in restrooms. So, I mean, shaking of hands, hugging. It doesn't matter if this is the friend you haven't seen in 15 years and they've surprised you at the urinal. No.
But you guys are talking about this. When does this happen to you? You guys are talking about this. Like,
well, here's the thing, Ron. You wouldn't know because
like
you don't go in these bathrooms.
It's like a high school reunion, man.
Maybe it happens literally every day at my office.
What are you facing?
Let me explain this, okay? So we share a third floor bathroom in Jennings Hall at my university with the Bible department. All right, so our department's on one end of the hall, Bible's on the other end, the bathroom's in the middle. And at any given time, like it doesn't matter what time of the day you're going to the bathroom, there's always like two or three Bible profs in there just chatting it up, right? Like these guys, they got a lot to say, man. And whatever important thing they have to say, it can't.
Yeah, they got a lot to say. They're Bible profs, baby.
Dude, right. You can't pause it for the bathroom. Like, so the conversation just got to keep going. And then, you know, they got to try to work you into the conversation. There's often like a dad joke. There's often a handshake. None of these things do I want in the bathroom. And listen to this, baby. So we had a guy, he's since retired, very prestigious Bible prof. Had been in the business for a long, long time. And our tenures at Union overlapped by like 1 or 2 years, maybe 2 years. And this guy, his thing was he would go to the urinal and he would pee. And while he was peeing, he would brush his teeth.
No, that is not
true. Baby, it's true.
I do not.
True as the day is long. Bible prof, very distinguished old man, peeing, brushing his teeth.
My spirit cannot receive that, Big T.
Yeah, it's real. You know, it's real.
That's,
so,
that's next level weird. So did he like then spit in the urinal too?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Did he shave too?
I think for him, it was like an efficiency thing. Like, look how much I'm getting done. You know, look like my time is so valuable. I can't even, you know,
I'm
like, who brushes their teeth at work anyway? I mean, that to me is a strange thing, but yeah, man, he's multitasking a little bit.
He would
do
like the midday teeth brushing. Thing.
Yeah, I guess like the post-lunch.
Like the post-lunch teeth brush.
Yeah.
Dude,
these guys
man,
are such,
so weird, man.
You dude, guys are such good stewards of their time, apparently. That's
20-year high school reunions at the urinal.
Yeah.
Dude, what is that?
It's strange, man. It's a thing that I don't want. So I think anybody who works at a college or in a big institution, Piper, let me know if it's like this for you at Lifeway. Like to me, it's a never-ending quest to find the perfect bathroom. So as I'm wandering around campus or having meetings, you know, just checking out other potential spots, you know, it's kind of the holy grail. You
Baby,
know,
is there no private one-person-only bathroom anywhere on campus? Is that what you're telling me?
Dude, not that I know of. If there is, I haven't found it yet.
Oh, my gosh. See, I would have already searched that out. I mean, I don't even know if I would have taken the job. I'd be like, hey, I need to ask you a couple of questions, interviewee.
Dude, I should have done that during the interview process. You know when they're like, do you have any questions for us? And you kind of get that quizzical look on your face and you pause for 3 or 4 seconds.
Because you feel like it'd be wrong for you to ask them a question about what's about to change your life for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah. If I had just been like, hey, so what's a bathroom situation? Level with me, guys. That's right. What are we looking at here?
Ron, I just have one question. Everything looks good. The doctrine, the setting, the pay.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I do need to know about the bathroom.
Everything looks good, but I need to know about the bathroom.
Perusing the benefits document and going, you know, the health insurance is great. I see that you do a retirement match. I'm curious about what is missing on here, and that is private restroom. I don't see that on here.
What am I looking at bathroom-wise? Boys,
Baby, let me ask you a serious question. Do you think if somebody, like, for instance, let's just say – Don Carson decided to move from like Trinity to Union. And he said, hey, one of the things that's going to seal the deal for me here is I need like my own private bathroom built outside of my office. Would they do that?
They would do it. They wouldn't do it for Don though. Cause I don't know how much traction Don would have in like the Southern Baptist community. So that might be a hard no, but I feel like somebody of that magnitude,
they would
make that kind of concession.
Yeah.
I feel like it would at least be discussed.
Like I can't be going to a public bathroom every day. You have to understand who I am right now.
Dude, right. I'm very busy. I'm very like dialed into these book projects. I can't be doing the public bathroom.
Pipe, they would do it for your pops for sure. Not even a question, huh?
I think that's a possibility. I think, I mean, he's one of the least demanding people ever, but yeah.
That'd be killer though. You know how killer that would be to have your own bathroom. That's next level, man.
Have you – well, Ted, speaking of having your own bathroom, have you snuck into, say, the president's office? Because I feel like wherever that is, there's a private restroom in there somewhere.
Dude, the prez has his own bathroom. And I've heard from people who like – so his building is relatively brand new. And I heard that like during the walkthrough, kind of before it was officially open, people were checking his bathroom out. He's got a shower in there.
What?
He's living well, man. He's living really, really well.
It's like
well.
A sojourn retreat at Union.
Dude, it's like a sojourn retreat each day for him. I mean, I don't know how he gets anything done. But
baby, what are the odds that you might get into that role someday?
0%. I am the world's
0%.
Yeah, 0% odds that I would get into that role. I'm the world's worst administrator. So if you need anything done administratively,
but
I'm
you
not.
Seem so good at like politics, Ted.
Yeah, I know.
I'm good at like. Just people pleasing. So I think that would get me to a certain level. And I could people please my way.
Yeah, that'd get you about 80, 90% there, big T.
You'd give me 80, 90%. But once it came time to like make sure the university was financially solvent and like doing the right things.
Yeah, then you'd call your assistant and you'd say, can you make the university financially
solvent? I'd make the provost
solvent?
Do all the rest of that stuff. Baby, you're really, you're kind
as
of
you were heading into your private bathroom. I mean, dude.
Exactly. This is not a bad idea. This has legs. I don't know. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes, but I'm not going to say no. A lot of it, though, may have to do with my personality profile not being right for the job. And speaking of such things, Ronald, you are at a sojourn retreat, which means you are at the world epicenter of Enneagram conversations. Am I right? How many of these any convos are you averaging per day down there?
Dude, it's so interspersed in just the regular convo. Of like just general conversation. It's like,
David,
so
would you humor me and give me an example of what that looks like?
Well, I mean, so you'll just be talking to somebody about ministry and then it, like inevitably, like you feel yourself coming to this place. You're like, so this has been hard for me and it's been uniquely hard for me because I'm an Enneagram 4. And because I'm a 4, it means that I'm going to struggle with that. And I'm struggling with that. So, but I mean, like, you know, you as a 7, I mean, you'd probably approach it like that. So it just like inevitably that's all, everything just kind of filters back to that.
Dude, now is there anybody in your tribe who's like, has the rebellion against the Enny started? Like, are there a couple of guys,
dude,
who are like, I reject that?
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are those guys gaining steam? Are they cool? I mean, everybody's cool in sojourn circles, obviously, but like, are they extra cool or are they still kind of rejected?
We had to let them go, actually.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
We
on
gave
that.
Them the release. This retreat, we let them have one more retreat and we said, hey, we want to invite them. And then we named off like 9 people to come up and stand on the stage. And we said, due to your lack of Enneagram, due to lack of your Enneagramming, we're going to have to let you guys go. It's been a good run though.
Thanks for your service.
Right. Thanks.
But you commissioned them to 9 marks.
No, I commissioned them to Acts 29. I said, you know, they do all those other assessments there, so enjoy yourself.
Dude, what's the Acts 29 retreat situation? Do you think
it's
a similar. Spike?
No, remember, they did a gala Remember? It was at the Opryland Hotel a year or two ago, and they did an A29 gala. So it's like a retreat, but with ties on.
Yeah, dude. Nobody wants that. They don't do it at the beach either. That's all anybody really wants to.
Nine Marks doesn't do retreats, I bet, because they're Nine more of that Marks self-flagellating. You can't.
They don't believe
enjoy
in retreating.
Kind of.
They don't believe. Yeah, in retreat. Yeah. They have no doctrine of rest.
Doctrine of rest. Yes, you got to spiritualize this baby. I'm telling you, this is the way forward for you in the publishing industry. So I want to talk about comparing the Annie with sort of the late 1990s version of the Enneagram, which was the five love languages. And I want to see if we can start a movement amongst our listeners. I want to see if we can bring back the five love languages and compete with the Enneagram. Piper, where were you going with this? Like, I think this is a really salient point where, you know, in 1998, we were making all the same points, but we were just doing it in the framework of the five love languages.
Yeah, so a coworker and friend of mine, a guy named Aaron Earls, tweeted a couple weeks ago and said the Enneagram is to the 2000 teens what the five love languages was to the mid and late 90s. And it was just sort of the observation, just basically the comparison of everybody knows their label, everybody speaks in their label, everybody sort of owns their label and then inflicts it on other people. So, oh, that's my seven, or oh, that's my, you know, quality time wing eight or whatever. And so he just made that comparison, and I thought, you know who the perfect people are to sort this out? It's us. We're the perfect people to sort this out.
Now, baby, you weren't in Sojourn or in ministry in the late 90s, but do you remember the five love languages craze?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that's still like a real thing, but everybody just kind of keeps it tucked under the more like culturally relevant, you know, personality assessments, right? But like every once in a while, it's funny because it'll come up, well, you know, that is in almost whisper, like that is part of my love language, you know, like that, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
It still gets used when it's useful.
Yeah, for sure. Baby, what's your love
useful
language?
Useful in a self-serving way. It's useful.
Yeah, quote unquote useful.
For somebody to know that my love language is gift giving or really gift receiving, let's be honest.
Correct. That, and funny, that's all of our love languages is gift receiving. Funny, that's like universal. We're all gift receivers.
You know that, maybe what's that your Gary love language? Chapman was on to something.
He was, man. I don't know what mine is. I think it was gift receiving. I don't remember. Nice. I don't really what is it, like words of affirmation or acts of service? Those are the only two
words
I ever remember.
Acts of service,
physical touch, man.
Physical touch, quality time, and gifts.
I think all the gifts and gifts, I think.
And private single stall bathrooms.
That would be a gift, though.
That would also be quality time.
That's true.
I think that's how that works.
Wait, what are the other ones, Pipe? I think I just like words of affirmation and gifts. And we say gifts, let's keep it like that's G-I-F-T-S. Let's make sure we're not getting too like relevant with that word.
No graphic interface. You know, whatever images.
Is that what that means, Pipe? I never knew that.
Yeah, wow. That's why it's GIF, not JIF, for all of you people out there who pronounce it like peanut butter.
Wow. So I feel really educated right now.
Yeah, so I, you know, Ted, what are yours? Or what is yours? Do you have a ranking?
Dude, I think mine were, let's see, probably words of affirmation, physical touch, That was probably it, man, thinking back to the 90s. But what about yours, Pipe?
Pretty sure quality time, and that just outranked the others by leaps and bounds.
Actually, no. You know what? You know what mine is? Mine is special treatment. So, like, anytime I watch the movie Goodfellas, you know the scene where he walks in the back through the copa? It's the famous, like, Steadicam scene in Goodfellas where he's trying to show out for his lady. And they kind of follow him through the back of the copa, and he's like stuffing a 20 into everybody's pocket, and they're opening doors and letting him in the secret special way. That's my love language. Like anytime I can, you know, cut in front of a line somehow, or like get some kind of special treatment. That to me is like off the charts love.
That
language.
Was foreshadowing of becoming an Enneagram 4 when the Enneagram was discovered.
Correct.
In the mid 2000s.
Dude, I know, man. I know.
Correct. I was going to say that, like, hey, Gary, I mean, who allowed you to make up five love languages? What if I came up with a couple more on the back end of that thing that fit more for me, you know?
Boys, how can we write a book that's just an annuity? like Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages. I owe my career to that book because that book made Moody Publishing. Moody Publishing, like, functioned for
and sell books.
Say what?
How to make up things and sell a lot of books.
Dude, seriously, that's what you should be thinking about at this retreat, man. With all this free time, I want you out there with your notebook.
I am. All I'm thinking about is how to make up stuff.
Exactly. Well, do more of it, man, and share it with me.
I'm doing this right now. I mean, but I would be thinking, like, how do I make up stuff? I mean, that's all I want to do is make up stuff.
Here's the problem. You guys are never going to come up with good ideas for this because as respective Enneagram 4s, you're going to try to come up with unique ideas instead of, like, canned garbage ideas that you can just spit shine a little bit, which is every other one of these things.
Boys, can I ask you one more question vis-a-vis the Ennie and Five Love Languages? Is there anybody in the world besides affluent white people from America who talk about this crap? Anybody?
Only people in Dubai.
This strikes me as like whiter than golf. Like talking about the Ennie and the Five Love Languages. I feel like at my dorkiest when I'm doing this.
Tiger Woods is offended.
Exactly.
Yeah, you brought up Dubai, but Dubai is actually wealthier than the United States, and so that might make up for the fact that it's not all white people. Yeah, I think it's whiter than golf, and it is the country club conversation for sure.
Indeed, when's the Enneagram bubble gonna pop? How many more years of this do we have?
Well, shoot, I mean, Five Love Languages, like Ron said, it's just sort of like baked into it. I don't even think people realize that is a book at this point.
That's been a juggernaut for years.
They just think it's sort of a cosmic set of categories for understanding how I want to be treated.
It's like something you already should know and you don't even know how you know it. Like I just forgot what the other three were, but like somehow they were in my collective consciousness. You know what I mean?
Dude, you know what my other love language is, boys? Canceled plans. Like whenever I have plans and they cancel for some reason and I don't have to do the canceling, I'm always thrilled.
It always makes you like really happy, huh, Big T?
Dude, yes. That's like it's
I'm kind of
second
with you
only
on that
to
one.
Special treatment.
I'm kind
Are you
of
that
with
way
you
too?
On that one. Oh, dude, totally. Like even if it's something that I thought I wanted to do, when I'm a day before it, I realize, oh, I don't want to do that at all. And then when it gets canceled, it feels like Christmas when something gets canceled.
Yeah. Whoa, maybe. Ron, take it easy. You don't get to throw around Christmas like that, Father Christmas. That's you don't get to cheapen your day like that.
Maybe listen. Really. Speaking of obligations upcoming, can we get a little update on the demographic shift in Ashland? Do we have an ETA on that?
Yeah, early June.
Okay. Wow.
Early June.
It's coming up. You got a month. You got a month to prepare.
Does the word home-purchased ring any bells for you boys? Okay.
Wow. Interesting, baby. So a month before you start doing your new podcast.
Correct.
A month before you start, like,
and a month
your
and
new
a half before
project.
You finish doing your new podcast.
Nice.
Correct.
Pipe.
Correct,
nice.
Boys. Yeah. Nice.
Well, baby, we'll look forward to frequent updates on that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's why I'm finishing my Christmas novel right now while I'm in Naples, because I'm not going to have any time when I get back to A-Town, right?
Well, dude, nothing says setting to finish a Christmas novel like Naples.
Correct. I mean, that's just what it is. That's how we write these things. It's always non-setting specific.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The Christmas sweater. Didn't I guess the plot of this at one point?
Dude, it's not. It's called The Christmas Song.
Dude, the thing with the bakery close. and the like, she'd had some problems and she meets the guy and.
No, he's a he like used to be like a recording artist. His career's going down the tubes. He has to move back to his small town.
Dude,
he
no way.
Up, like, he ends up writing this Christmas song that like hits it big, and I'm not going to give away the rest. So it's
alternate
big.
Title.
It's
the life Ron wants to have.
Alternate title: The Life Ron Has.
The Life Ron Does Have. I love it.
Yeah, pretty much. It's autobiographical for sure.
So, baby, you could say in a way that you are. You are probably well on your way to being an A-lister. So once you write your like mega hit Christmas song, and once your Christmas novel drops, you're going to have access to a whole new sort of echelon of A-list people to hang out with.
It'll be a whole world that none of us know anything about or the people associated with.
A decadent world, an excessive world, a world
that
we're
like that. I kind of like having a world outside of my world that I can just be like, yeah, I'm in that world, but you don't know anything about it. So we can just move on to another topic of conversation.
Well, the topic, baby, is which A-listers do you think you would be besties with? So once you hit the big time, when this novel drops, and I mean, you've already hit the big time in that you've volunteered to be a sojourn pastor, and so you're living as an A-lister. But once you actually hit the actual A-list, which one of these guys do you think you would be besties with? I feel like this is a topic that like drifted through our transom, and we all kind of guffawed over text about it. But I want to hear from both you guys on this. Big R, who are you hanging with? Who are you besties with once you hit the big time?
Wait, like with my Christmas novel, dude? Is that what we're talking about?
Anything that puts you into the A-list. It could be your Christmas novel. It could be your Christmas song.
It could be the plenary session that you're going to get at some point.
Baby, dude, listen
to me. Okay, let me say it. What, say it again. Just go ahead.
Once you pick out your outfit for normal pastors and you get up on that main stage and you crush it, right? People are going to be tweeting out Ron Martin wisdom. You're going to be Yoda internet pastor, and then – you know, before Piper and I know it, you're going to be in the A-list and not even returning our calls.
Baby, I'm afraid because I feel like Jared C's made so many like negative comments about like image and like clothing. I've already like bought a pair of like straight leg khakis to make sure that I.
Dude, everybody knows it's.
Do you know who posts more pictures of apparel they are wearing than you do?
Cool.
Jared C. Wilson.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love the hypocrisy there. That's
now,
fantastic.
He's not what we would refer to as a fashion plate, but he's very proud of some of his pieces of apparel. So this is an even playing field. Don't worry. You know, you're not being judged too
hard. Dude, this is fascinating, Piper. What's he proud of?
I don't know, like red Nike sneakers and Patriots socks. Ooh. And stuff.
Okay. A lot of sneakers.
Call it like dad fashion, as opposed to Ron, who is like fashion.
Okay. Either way, though, it's still fashion. So Ronald, which A-lister are you hanging out with once you hit the big time? Once this plenary session that you give goes viral, who's the ultimate A-list hang for you? Besties.
Dude, you know, okay, here's the thing, man. I feel like there's a couple of dudes I could probably be friends with.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just basing it. I don't even know what I'm basing it on, right? So, like, I got to admit, man, at Indy Live, I was kind of surprised. And I'm not going to say Johnny P, but I was kind of surprised at how funny he was that night. And I was like, dude, I think if I could get a dinner with this guy, like, we'd be yucking it up. Like, it would be funny. It'd be a good time.
Really? Wow.
I think so. Because he kind of
texting a little bit, like afterward.
To me, a little bit, and I
like a little like, did you get home okay? Just like, let me know once you get home. Kind of text.
You should have said this up there. My son should have said this, and I was like, oh, dude, you're actually listening and watching this thing. Yeah, but
that's because he thought you were wrong about cats.
Yeah, I know. So I guess
he locked in on that, and like that's all he heard. He was like, oh, Ron is wrong about cats.
It was the one thing I thought I was wrong on. So
that's the dynamic of the friendship, though. Like you being wrong and him correcting you, maybe.
I don't know, man. I'm trying
that's
to think.
That's funny. That's kind of the dynamic of my relationship with him as well.
I love it, dude. I was hoping you'd say that. Oh,
how great would it be like me telling Pipe, yeah, me and your pops, man, we're taking this day trip out to do a retreat.
We're going to a baseball game. We're going to play catch. Yeah. You know, we're going to do all this quintessential father-son stuff.
Play catch, Ron would say, we're going to have a catch. Just like baseball movie.
All right, come on. I play catch. Let's not be ridiculous. I'm an American here. Let's not be weird.
If you played catch at the Sojourn Retreat?
Oh, my gosh. No, I feel like that's something I want to do, but I wouldn't even want to offer that to them, as an option.
All right, give us some more A-listers that you're going to be besties with once you hit the big time.
I feel like you know who I would love to get into a room to and just like just to see how jokey and fun he could be just for an experiment is your boy KDY.
Dude, he can be fun. Like that's the thing. All kidding aside, back when me and KDY were boys, like we had some ha-has. We had some real ha-has together. He's got kind of a
serious now though with all of his A-listing.
Well, dude, I don't know. I haven't hung out with him like a real legitimate A-lister, but yeah, maybe the sense of humor has changed. Maybe he's a little more politic, but
dude, I feel like Darren Patrick, I feel like I could kick it with that guy. And I feel like we're kind of from the same era. I think we're like about the same age. And I feel like some of the references he makes, I feel like, I know he's all into like baseball and stuff, but like I actually know stuff about baseball. I feel like we could hang as boys. I feel like
fashion wise, you guys would be a match too. You guys could hit the mall together, and it would be not a disconnect. You know,
I don't know. Yeah. DP. I don't know. Yeah.
Piper, what about you? A-list besties. Who are you hanging with? Like, who do you want on your speed dial once you hit the big time?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I've spent enough time in green rooms and dinner tables with famous pastors to have a
Pipe. You actually have, man. You have
it's a depressingly short list.
Yeah.
I will say this. Most of the people who would be a good hang are not the ones who are largely in our theological crowd.
Interesting. Assess that, Piper. Continue. Well, you have a repetition.
So I have been backstage at Catalyst on a couple different occasions.
What's Catalyst?
Okay, see, this is perfect. Good, you don't know. Mm-hmm. So Catalyst is like the big, or it has been for like 15 years, like 10 to 15,000 person Christian leadership conference. It's hosted in Atlanta. It was started out of Andy Stanley's church. So Andy Stanley and John Maxwell sort of put it together. But then it moved towards younger leaders. So it was super cool for like 10 years, except that they didn't bring in any new people. Like, so that all the young leaders then became the 30-something leaders, became the 40-something leaders, and it stopped being cool. But a lot of the people they would bring in were much more fun than, say, the T4G crowd. Nobody on that T4G list makes the fun besties list. Although I wouldn't mind hanging out with Matt Chandler simply because I want to get my hands on some of those Texas craft steaks, and he might be able to hook a brother up. So.
Dude, yeah, you know you're living well if you're hanging out with Matty Chan. You know, it's first class all the way. It's like a sojourn retreat down there.
I feel like I wonder how well, like, me and Frankie would be able to hang together.
Dude, I feel like you and Frank Chan would do a nice job together. I really do. I just don't know.
He might be too intense.
I was going to say, I feel like he would make me guilty for having fun. Like, he would make me feel like, oh, that joke was out of line or something. And I don't
like,
want
like,
that.
You think he would
I don't
be
need
fun,
that from my friends.
Like, you think he would be fun, but then you're around him and you find out he's – like, it's one of these guys where, like, they put out that persona from the platform, but then you're with them and they're actually, like, super serious about everything. And they kind of look at you like, dude, am I allowed to laugh at that? And you're looking at them like, yeah, because that was funny. But then they don't laugh, right? So I wonder if Frank would be like that. I wonder if Frank would be like that. You
dude,
know?
Frank might be like that.
Who do we think – who's like a serious guy that we think might shock us off of the platform and actually be easy and fun to hang with?
Dude, I think Timmy K might be fun. I'm calling my shot right there. I think Timmy K might be
totally
a fun.
Totally relaxed and like doesn't care about anything.
Yeah. Dude, he's got nothing to prove. The best people. Yeah. So like we've all hung with celebrities in like different arenas, Pipe in the ministry world and you in music and me kind of in sports. And like the best people to hang with are the people that have nothing to prove. Like no chip on their shoulder, nothing to prove. They're not trying to show out for anybody. I feel like that would be Timmy K. I think he could be a fun hang.
Pipe, I don't know about hung with Timmy K, man. Do you have any firsthand experience with that dude?
Nah, none. I will say like in his post pastor retirement, you see a little bit more of that sense of humor coming out. Like you even see it on Twitter when he interacts with people. You're like, oh, like he has jokes. Timmy's got jokes. And it's a little bit of a surprise. I will also say in our world, the Christian world, the worship leaders always more fun than the speakers.
Interesting. I've never hung with a worship leader. That's fascinating.
Always more fun.
I typically try to avoid them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's true.
Dude, you know who's
I always
you know
feel like
kind
I'm trying
worst?
To be super with the exception of Matt Boswell, who I hang with a little bit, and he's just a nice guy, but Matty Boz. Bozzy.
Matty Boz. Shout out to Matty Boz.
Shout out to Boz. What were you going to say, Big T?
Christian athletes are kind of the worst. Oh, they tend to be kind of humorless. You know, there's just not a lot of fun going on there. So yeah, like that may be off the table. Dude, for me, I'm going to say I think some of these like old, like washed up mega Christian rock stars from like the 80s and 90s would be a fun hang. Like I bet the guys from Striper would have some funny stories.
Oh, wow.
That may be the direction that I go in if I'm hitting the A-list.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. You've probably hung with all those guys, though. Did you ever cross paths with the Striper guys back in the day?
No, I actually got asked to play on one of their tours, though. What do you think about that, Big T?
Well, baby, I'm impressed. What do you think I think about it? I mean, is the Pope Catholic? Like, of course I'm impressed. So it would have been, let me see if I can, like, paint the picture here. So you would have been doing arenas, and it would have been these guys with, like, huge teased up 80s hairspray, no shirts, like, yellow spandex tights, and then you, like, going on before them.
You're missing it. You're missing it.
Yeah.
No, Striper, this is when they were doing a comeback in the early 2000s. And believe it or not, like the reason why Striper sounds like Striper on stage is because a lot of stuff is pre-recorded and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so their management contacted me to see if I was willing to like put together all of their backing tracks and all their synth
stuff.
They
wanted you to like produce them or
go on tour with them and like manage that whole thing, play with them. But then manage that thing and do it all. And so I was like, I can't do that.
Dude, would you have had to then like pop on a pair of yellow tights of your own and kind of go shirtless with a little clerical collar
this was before they were allowed to break out the yellow and black again. So they were still wearing jeans at that time because it was like they're trying to stay current, you know, and do that. So I think it was a little before that. But I think they were just looking for somebody a little more like with technical know-how. And I didn't even know half the stuff they wanted me to do. I didn't even know how to do anyway. So I was like, I can't do it.
Sure.
But it's really strange that I'm getting this email from their management. I thought that was really
opportunity funny. Lost, baby. There could have been a nice buck in that round.
I knew that someday I'd be doing this podcast. So I just sort of, I thought, man, don't worry about it. Bigger things are yet to come.
You're like, guys, forget it. I got a lot of money coming my way here in about a decade. So
right. Didn't worry me at all.
Yeah, that's good, baby. I like the faith that you have in the podcast, too. This thing is a rocket ship.
And plus, remember, Ted, he gets resourcing through Sojourn, so he didn't need all that. I think resourcing involves cash, so.
Resourcing and connections, subtext.
And I have a lot of fluidity. Features. You guys keep ignoring that word. I thought that was the best part.
And
of
it wasn't just connections, it was connectivity. That's there's Piper, more to that.
You know what fluidity is code for? I want you to guess.
Goodness. I have so many ideas. Fluidity.
Well, just say one of them because it'll probably be correct.
You can do whatever you want.
Dude, to me, fluidity means a heck ton of time off. Am I right?
Dude, I love heck ton.
Yeah, fluidity.
Heck ton is literally my new word.
That was the most like youth pastory Christian curse word I've heard on this podcast.
Heck ton is the name of this podcast.
Now. That's my new career. I'm a youth pastor.
Welcome to the Hecton Podcast. I'm your host.
I'm getting the thing on my ankle, the Jesus fish. Boys, we're almost out of time. We are out of time. I'm going to call this thing done. Let me close this thing out. Boys, we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics, as we often do. And until next time, girl, wash your face.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.